How have you not seen this?
And welcome back to How Have You Not Seen This. As always, I'm your host, Dustin Meadows. Today, I am joined by my guest host, KK Bracken.
Hi.
Chris Cohen.
Hello.
And Jackie Shreves.
Hello.
And our guest, Ivy Decker.
Hello.
And Alex Green.
I'm here again.
And we just finished watching Captain America 2, The Winter Soldier, the last installment in the MCU that we have not tackled on the podcast yet, but not the last installment. We made a shitload of money. Movie was also really good. There's a lot of us here, so I'm going to keep this short. Ivy, how have you not seen this?
I had seen the first one until we watched it for the podcast a couple weeks ago, so I hadn't seen the second one because that would be out of order.
Accurate. All right, Alex.
Did you remember?
Alex. Alex. Yeah. You ding dong. How have you not seen this?
Well, if you remember from the last time, I fell asleep in the middle of the other one, and I didn't know if I wanted to see another movie with John Cusack in it. So I was just like, yeah, maybe I'll pass on this one. But then I found out that John Cusack's not in the first one. That was a dream that I had while watching the first one. And here we are.
Did we talk about this last time?
I believe we did.
Okay. I remember faintly singing John Cusack's praises now. Right? So that's accurate. That sounds fair. Okay. Well, now that we've gotten through it, what did you guys think?
It was really good. It was a lot different than I was expecting.
Okay.
Not your typical, superhero movie.
Huh?
I feel like it was like more action, less narrative than the first one, which makes sense because we didn't have to do the backstory this time, and it was kind of like let you piece it together as you go, which I liked.
Okay, cool. Let's throw it over to you guys. Let you jump in here with something about it.
I thought it was like a mix of a spy movie with a superhero movie. Mm-hmm. I think that's what I really liked about it, because they really ripped apart the S.H.I.E.L.D. I mean, they changed Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. based off this movie. They really changed a lot of the Marvel Universe based on what happened in this film.
Mm-hmm. I would say basically the same. I like this movie because we got more into S.H.I.E.L.D., especially more into Natasha's character and her work for S.H.I.E.L.D., and that's something that they really needed to do, so good job.
Yeah.
I really like all the characters involved, like, that are heavily involved in this movie. Falcon, Natasha, Fury, and Cap, and I guess Bucky as well.
Yeah, definitely. For me, it's a lot of what you guys are saying, where this feels kind of like a political thriller more than any of the other ones that have been the Hulk rampaging through the streets, or a 40-minute final battle that looks like the end of Transformers in Avengers. And that's what I really like about it. And how fucking good is Robert Redford as the villain in this? So good. Robbie Reds! Jumping in.
Treat.
But yeah, also going back on this, the Russo brothers directed this, and they've been tied to like a lot more comedy type stuff. Like they've directed several episodes of the last season of Community and some of the episodes prior, which I think is why Danny Pudi pops up here.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And that really great 5-second cameo. And then there's also DC Pearson as Aaron, the guy at the Apple store, who's just smitten with Cap.
Very typical of an Apple store employee, too. I felt like I was there trying to get an iPhone update or something.
And they're just smitten with the specimen of Chris Cohen?
Well, yeah. No. The demeanor. Definitely not smitten.
Oh. They walk in, they're like, oh, is this a chunk of granite that somebody carved up and let into the Apple store?
Who's this inbred disaster that just walked in? It's going to waste my time asking what an app is.
There's also, I like that there's some nods for comic book fans in here. Primarily, the most obvious one is the inclusion of Batroc in that very beginning sequence. One of the earliest non-Hydra affiliated Cap villains that I remember reading in like the black and white essential Marvel.
Is that the French guy that wants to make out with Cap?
Yeah.
We would punch each other's hands and maybe some tongues. Yes.
The French wheel kicking acrobat. Yes. which might be one of my favorite fights in a movie ever, because they both just like wheel kick each other throughout. This is like, this is unnecessarily elaborate fight scene, but I'm very much on board with it.
They really did a good job. One of the complaints about the first one in the Avengers is Captain America just looked like a guy with a shield. Mm-hmm. They really ramped up kind of his fighting skills and strength.
They make it obvious that he's superhuman in this one, which I think is great.
Yeah. Like the opening scene when he kicks dudes, they actually fly like 10 feet.
Yeah.
Versus like punch and they go down. Like it seemed like a superhero versus just a cool guy.
He's all Solid Snake, and then it's like Hulk kicking Tim Roth 40 yards or whatever. I also love it, too, because I feel like one of the things we didn't get a whole lot in the first one was, I don't know, this felt more like in the first Captain America, it feels like it's just Captain America going in there and just fighting people, whereas this one, this actually feels like an espionage thing, with them taking down the ship and them rescuing the hostages in the very beginning. And just his communication with the team, I thought that was really cool. And you see early that, he has a connection to those characters, which makes it that much shittier when they're all in an elevator and they're like, oh, this guy thought we were his friends, now we're gonna fuck him up.
Mm-hmm. The strike team, though, those are all kind of bad dudes.
Oh, they are. But he didn't know that.
That's true.
He was buddies with them.
Well.
They probably went to cookouts together.
I see Cap as being more reserved around those types of folks.
Oh, but the banter on the plane.
Banter on the plane.
The banter with, I can't think of the
Rumble.
Dude's name. Yeah, Rumble.
By the way, is Rumble alive at the end of this movie?
Yeah. Yeah,
I didn't notice
that
until this.
Yeah, he's Crossbones in the comics.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hired assassin, very bad guy, so I think that's...
Setting him up to come back as
that
guy later down the road.
Yeah, there was a lot of Easter eggs in this movie, too.
I think it's interesting they never say out loud that Sharon is Peggy's niece.
Yeah.
That's what she's talking to on the phone.
Yeah. Yep. Which makes Cap just a real fucking weird guy. That's a graduate kind of
thing. You like what you like, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, does he know that she's Peggy's...
In the comics, he does.
Yeah,
I imagine he'll find out in the movie when he bangs her, and then she says, "Hey, you want to go meet my aunt?" Oh, he's just.
Hey, she moved on. She married him, and he was frozen in ice. She couldn't wait for him. So
that's true. It's fair. It's weird.
That scene with her, though, her face the entire time, because you know they did it up to make her look older. It just creeps me out the entire time. I can't pay attention
because
to the
conversation. Actually, what's her face?
Haley Atwell.
Yes.
Yeah. Also, that scene does The Notebook better than The Notebook does The Notebook. Which is they took a whole movie. This scene did it in 3 minutes.
Yeah.
So
that's better, too.
Yeah, definitely. Although, I will say, James Garner was wonderful in The Notebook. He was a little He's a solid actor.
I thought we'd go with the Notebook reference Captain America, the Winter Soldier podcast.
But you should have.
I probably should have.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's been building up to it this whole time.
That's been the whole purpose.
It's his secret mission just to slip the Notebook into every single podcast.
To be fair, Cap, if he hadn't been frozen, he probably would have built her a house, too.
Yeah, that's true.
Aww.
Yeah, I'm sure he would have.
Where would he have built it at?
America? Yeah. Are you paying attention?
Are you suggesting that Cap would have built a house in a cave?
Perhaps.
Perhaps from scraps?
Maybe from scraps, yeah.
He's not Tony Stark, Alex. That's silly. There we go. We shoehorned it in. Early on. Jackie mentioned this. Natasha gets beefed up so much more in this movie, which I am very pro that. Especially because they don't force a love story on us between her and Cap, which a lot of movies probably would have done that.
Yeah.
So I definitely think it's.
I'm very excited for the Russo brothers to do the next Avengers. It's not a movie. It's going to be the Russo brothers, the third one.
Yeah, they did a really good job of showing her skills too, right off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. A really cool scene with some fighting, shooting, whatever that rope cable thing was that she choked the guy out with, and then that was pretty cool.
When they're sneaking out of the mall too, and Cap's like, "All right, I'm ready to fight," and she's just like, "Hey, dummy, how about we do not that way?"
Yeah, and that is sort of like the whole, I don't know, you can call it like a thematic parallel of the whole movie, right? Spy versus soldier, and the nature of who they are as people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they had awful outfits on. It was pretty funny to see their tennis shoes or even like their comic book colors.
Yeah.
I know so many people that have cosplayed that specific scene from Captain America. Oh. Like street clothes, Captain and Natasha.
Jeez.
Oh, this specific high-heeled sneakers that Black Widow wears.
It sounds like they wanted to cosplay as those two characters, but like, I don't want to spend the money on the costume.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to have to work out for 8 months to
yeah.
get a cat suit.
That's true. So. Cosplay is expensive.
It is.
And it takes a toll on you physically.
I bet.
Not if you cosplay the right characters.
That's very true.
I'm cosplaying the dead body from scene 5.
My favorite is to see how cosplayers creatively do Bucky's arm from this movie. Like,
yeah.
Seeing a lot of duct tape versions of the Winter Soldier's arm. It's hard.
Tinfoil?
Yeah, a little bit of tinfoil. It's just like the sheen, the metallic sheen is really hard to get.
So no one's actually cut off their arm.
Cowards.
Know of. Possibly people that have real prostheses.
The guy that didn't survive. He didn't make it.
So. Tried to do it himself with nobody on board. So, I should have gotten something for this.
I love this character.
I would like the Winter Soldier. Do you think, with all in Cap 1 and Cap 2, do you think that they're going to eventually make Bucky Captain America like they do in the comics? Because he's always swinging the shield around, and I feel like they wouldn't do that. I feel like
he figured the shield out pretty good, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I've always thought, that they were going to have Bucky take over, like, in the comics. Like, didn't Falcon also take over in the comics?
Very recently.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I feel like they'll do Bucky before they do Falcon.
Well, and Bucky was Captain for a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah. On the timeline they're going on, it's hard to say.
Yeah.
Like, it probably wouldn't even be, like, within the next two phases of the stuff they do.
Yeah, but Chris Evans doesn't want to be around forever.
No.
He should. He's a treasure.
He's like, I just feel bad for the kid, you know? He's always like, I'm a good actor. I'm not just a torso, but and a nice back and arms, too.
He keeps his shirt on in Scott Pilgrim.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's amazing in Sunshine.
And he's amazing as Steve Rogers.
Yeah,
he's fabulous, but I just think he, you know, from interviews I've read, I don't know.
It's hard to tell what they're going to do with the characters because the movies have come out like 30, 40 years after some of the storylines in the comics, so
right.
They've had to change some
details.
I mean, and I wouldn't think that they would do that necessarily except for all the foreshadowing that I've seen.
Yeah,
I've seen
that's what
I think.
It's probably good because some of the 60s and 70s uniforms and costumes were awful.
Yeah.
We're not going to give the Falcon the, like, red and white, like, deep V.
The American Gladiator
costume. Anthony Mackie was like, man, I wish that would have been my costume.
Nope. You get metallic wings.
Well, actually, I saw a sneak preview of all the Ultron wings that he got.
Oh, yeah.
They're red.
Oh.
I guess it's probably too
maybe they're gearing that way, then.
I mean, it's like basically the same thing. They're just a little bit red.
Yeah.
And it was grainy footage because it was probably like someone's cell phone.
That's fair.
Tumblr is a magical place, though, that exists in general.
No, it's a place that exists. You're not wrong. There are some great things, and then it's like, hey, here's some art I drew of the Hulk using the toilet. Who asked for this? Fan fiction, I get it. It's porn, but no, who's asking for a picture of the Incredible Hulk pooping? Monsters, that's who.
Hey, sometimes you just gotta know what it looks like.
Yeah, is it green?
Why would
they get that far?
I don't know. Why is his skin green, Dustin?
Gamma rays.
That's right. That
gamma radiation.
Sometimes it's just funny to look.
I didn't miss a beat answering that. I had that answer. Like, just cleared the holster. Just bam, right out the gate.
So, do you guys want to talk about how this is the only romantic comedy in the MCU? It begins with a meet cute, two guys, early morning, running near the monuments. Steve is wearing his medium shirt just for Sam. He's like, that's all, it's a cute guy. And Sam's like, oh, Captain America's hitting on me, no way. And then he messes up, right? He's like, oh, what's it like being frozen? But he comes right back and he offers him a real pal. And Steve even says, like, I need someone with shared life experience. You mean like a specialized soldier who lost his best friend in battle? I'm just saying, they make hard eyes at each other for 2.5 hours, and they're gonna get married and have a lot of babies, and I have written fan fiction for this pairing before.
Did you write the speech down? Because I'm so emotional. I know that you have been chomping at the bit to talk about this.
I waited for an opening.
You did, and you got it.
Yeah. Anyway, so Steve Rogers, ex Sam Wilson, forever. Their ship name is Freebird, by the way.
God damn it. Oh my god.
There's way too much homework going into this.
Homework, this is my life, friend.
It is.
Yeah, if Dustin follows me on Tumblr, he knows.
I'm aware.
So I like had heard of this pairing before I actually saw Captain America, and I was like, oh, that's like a funny little fantasy. And then I saw it, and if you like keep that in your mind, it is very like, oh, like they have an inside joke and he's and by his bedside when he awakes with the Marvin Gaye soundtrack. They're gonna bang. On the road trip for Bucky, there are about 1,000 fanfictions like that.
It's all their car breaking down on the side of the interstate and then needing to keep warm.
Cheap motels. Say, well, Steve Rogers runs hot, according to most fanfiction.
Who's
the serum?
God damn it. I'm so glad to get clear of Marvel, because then I might be able to do an episode of this without fan fiction.
Not if I'm here.
You're banned for this episode. This is your last appearance.
You don't have to talk about fan fiction anymore. I just had to say
that. No, it's funny. This is abuse with me. I just don't want to get into Terminator 2 and have some weird John Connor, Sarah Connor incest fan fiction popping up.
Knowing the way that fandom often works, especially with fan fiction, it would be like young John Connor with his older self, because like they always ship the white men together,
God damn it.
I'm sure a fanfiction like that exists.
Wow,
like,
it absolutely does. I thought I had all that free time, and then I just heard the last 3 minutes of this conversation. Now I realize I have not nearly enough to do something like this.
Jeez, get at her level, Chris.
I only sit on the couch 6 hours a day.
One of the funny things that I saw after this movie is the list that Steve has of things
mm-hmm.
to catch up
oh,
on.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. They changed that. Based on the country of release. So the Italy version had stuff that happened in Italian history, like World Cup wins and things like that. And there was one for Britain and Germany even. So it was pretty cool that to look those up online and see what was important to like different countries and cultures.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember some of the things that were on
this
list.
Disco was
yeah.
one of them.
Steve Jobs. Parentheses, Apple.
Yeah, Star Wars was on there.
And Star Trek. It was Star Wars slash Trek.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Nirvana, and Rocky, and in parentheses, Rocky 2 question.
Sid Berlin Wall, up, down. That was pretty funny.
One of the other things that I caught this time that I'd never noticed before was Fury's gravestone at the end. With the Bible passage he does in Pulp Fiction, Ezekiel 25:17.
Which is an adorable little Easter egg, but I think inappropriate for the character of Nicholas Fury, personally.
I mean, he does walk the path of the righteous man.
Sort of.
The word fury is in that passage.
Yeah, that's also
true.
I think he defines his own, like, so it seems like fury is, does whatever the hell he kind of thinks is best.
Right,
so
I agree.
Maybe he redefined the Bible even. He's like, I'm going to go ahead and call an audible on God and just redefine what this means. So.
Yeah, he's trying real hard to be the shepherd. That's the scene that I want, is Nick Fury to run into Tim Roth in Incredible Hulk and then deliver that passage to him. One of the other things I can't stop thinking about is that Chris Evans and Scarlett Johansson were in The Perfect Score together, and I almost wanted to rewatch it because I feel like they've got a lot of similar scenes in this where like they're just like talking like really close with their faces a whole bunch. But I haven't seen it in years. But I thought just little stuff like that is cool. How that movie was like fucking 12 years ago, and then they get brought back in for an entirely new franchise after having worked together. I'm the only one who saw The Perfect Score.
I was going to say,
it's not a bad movie. It's not a bad movie at all.
Bye bye, bikinis. There's a lot of really good lines in this movie.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. What was his response? Yeah, I'm sure you look terrible.
I'm sure you look terrible. Or, like, we're not, I didn't, where'd you learn to steal cars? Nazi Germany, we're not stealing it, we're borrowing it, so get your feet off the dash.
Yeah.
She, like, does it and, like, gives him a little smile.
So, like, they don't put the floor numbers on the outside of the building.
Right.
Yes.
Or, you're a lot heavier than you look. I had a big breakfast. After they did it all night long. Breakfast.
Subtext.
Read a lot of that in those papers. Sometimes Natasha's there, too.
Is she involved or is she just, like, directing?
Both.
They probably cover both scenarios.
Oh, yes.
Being supportive. Waving a sign that says Free Bird on it.
Yeah.
Red, white, and blue, and a red and white pom-pom,
yeah,
shaking them. Alright, can we please stop talking about something else?
I don't know, that's all I can think about now.
I can't even think about it.
I've been ruined for other thoughts.
Well, so did you all know the big twist that Bucky was the Winter Soldier going into this
Tumblr
movie?
Ruined it.
What?
Tumblr ruined it.
Yeah,
that's how I knew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's okay because I didn't know how it was going to happen.
Sure.
So.
Sure.
Yeah. I hadn't seen the movie, but I played a game on my phone and I saw that character. And I was like, okay, I made this character a person in this game, and I'm like, who the fuck is the Winter Soldier? So I just did Wikipedia research. I was like, oh, I've ruined this movie for myself.
Yeah. I read the comics, so
right,
I knew.
So you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was interesting. Like, once again, they had to change the backstory. Instead of a Soviet assassin, he became a Hydra assassin.
Yeah.
So, like,
yeah,
little things like that. But they kept the Red Star, which was,
yeah,
which was,
yeah,
kind of cool.
I noticed that the sun around.
Wasn't really.
But he was still, like, the Soviets were still the ones experimenting on him,
true.
I think. Even though it was Hydra.
Yeah,
I think the implications
right.
Still,
well, yeah, because she got the file from Kiev.
Right.
She said at the end,
mm-hmm.
So that makes sense.
Is that where the people in the mid credits sequence, were they in Kiev?
I'm not sure where they were. I don't think it
don't
matters.
Think
they're Hydra. That's
well,
the only
yeah.
important part.
Yeah, they're somewhere nefarious and
okay.
hidden.
A dubious bunker.
I just think the people in Hydra have to have a lot of babies because every time you kill one, two pop up. They kill a shitload of them in this movie, so.
Yeah. Hydra's everywhere! One of my favorite things about this movie, there's a lot of chaos with characters, like minor characters that have been brought up in previous ones. Like Sitwell pops up, I think, in two movies before this, and he's actually on the helicarrier in Avengers. Doing whatever people at the computers on the helicarrier do in Avengers. And then, of course, my favorite payoff is Gary Shandling's senator coming back and the Hail Hydra reveal.
That was more shocking to me than anything in this movie.
Yeah, like, that was the biggest twist.
Gary Shandling is
like,
working for Hydra.
Hey, here's Gary Shandling coming right back. Oh, these guys are friends. Hail Hydra.
I like how in that conversation he's just like, No. We need to hug right now.
Yeah.
We're surrounded by guards. Time to hug, brother. And I was like, what is this? Oh, okay.
And then right before that, he's just being a total sleazebag.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got a big problem. This 23-year-old blonde wants to be a reporter. My back's killing me. Classic Gary Shandling.
Oh, boy. Hot bits.
It was pretty wild to me, too, how they targeted all those people in such a dense area. It could potentially
mm-hmm.
be threats.
Yeah.
That means there's a ton of heroic people walking around, and I don't know any of them.
Don't you?
That's what I took from that.
But, like, this is only the second time I watched watched this movie, but, like, both times I play the game in my head, I'm like, okay, who do I know who would die?
Yeah.
Which is really weird.
My pops, probably. Because he's, like, worked for the government pretty high up.
Mm-hmm.
Although he's, maybe would be valued by Hydra, though he's pretty conservative.
Yeah, that's true. I've tweeted a lot of angry things about cops, so I might be on that list. I'm very dangerous on the internet. Well, that's the way it seemed, though. Like,
mm-hmm.
it, like, not just, like, people who would legitimately pose a threat, but, like, people, like, that might, like, because they even said, like, they mentioned voting records at one point.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, so it could be just some random person who voted for a third-party candidate one year, and they're like, we don't need them.
Yeah, well, they were talking, too. They dropped, like, Stephen Strange.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
The precursor to Doctor Strange. They talked about a guy in Cairo, which is a reference to Moon Knight.
Mm-hmm.
So there were several, like, superheroes that kind of dropped little hints in. But then they targeted, like, government officials, soldiers probably, you know, anybody that could resist their authority.
The president was targeted.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, when, like, the screens were showing, like, who they were going to, it was, like, president, like, big guys, and then there was, like, a dad on a baseball field, and you're supposed to go, no! Like, yeah. It's really, like, so sad.
No Iron Man on the list.
Well, not in the immediate...
In the vicinity of the gun range, yeah, he was on the list, I'm sure.
Yeah, they targeted Stark Towers, like, they showed it.
Okay, I missed that.
Oh, hey, so that's probably a good segue to talk about where the fuck was the rest of the Okay, so this movie really does bother me. Nick Fury is not dead. You're saying he doesn't text Tony Stark, hey, come down here, you only live 4 hours away, and you have a flying suit. Come help us out so that millions of people don't die.
Well, Tony Stark's got kind of a big mouth. And I don't know that he'd be able to keep that secret. He couldn't even keep
his
own
secret.
He
literally
invited
the
need for secrecy. They are giant helicarriers.
He literally invited the Mandarin to his front door.
Yeah. Maybe Stark's compromised, too.
Yeah. Because he mentions that he doesn't know who he can trust.
Yeah.
That's one of the problems with the team-up versus individual type of aspect for this movie.
Yeah.
It's like, you could go back and watch, like, Iron Man 2, for example, and be like, hey, where's Thor?
Right, and I was saying this with Thor 2. All I need is a throwaway line about it. That's it.
Yeah.
That's all I need. Why don't we contact Stark about this? Who knows if he's corrupted, too?
They're busy.
Yeah. That's having a really bad panic attack right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was just going to say, I just kind of assumed after, especially after the Avengers, that Fury would want to avoid essentially what Natasha did, which is probably what Stark would do too, in dumping all of their information because they've got secrets in secrets.
Yeah, I just assume that a lot of these things are happening concurrently too.
Yeah,
because there's no S.H.I.E.L.D. presence in Thor 2 or Iron Man 3, so it kind of makes sense that maybe there's no S.H.I.E.L.D. presence because this shit was going on while that shit was going on. Because like you never see the president in this one. And they're in the city where the president would be, so maybe it's when he got kidnapped by fucking
Adrian. But then he was targeted while in the White House.
Oh, okay.
Or it could have been another high-ranking official.
No, it said president.
It did say president.
Wouldn't have been
named
Matthew.
That's true.
Matthew Ellis. Oh. Old Willie Sadler. Probably making up for jeopardizing his relationship with Pepper Potts.
Pepper Potts.
Pepper Potts.
Pepper's great.
Maybe their budget was low, too low to hire more actors for this movie.
No, and I certainly don't want Iron Man to be there. Once again, I just want one line. One
just
line, that's all I'm asking for in these movies. Like, hey, the world's gonna end, so why don't we acknowledge where the other good guys are?
It was a pretty interesting debate they brought up, which parallels kind of our modern debate of freedom versus security. There was a lot of tie-in.
I thought that was, and this like movie came out right when all that stuff was really...
Hot. Yeah, so there was a big debate between Fury and Captain America is should you do what you can to neutralize threats in advance, or is there due process? Is there, you know, freedom to make decisions, things like that? So that was, I thought that was a pretty good subtle way of showing even a debate between the heroic characters. Like they don't even agree on how to proceed with things like that.
Yeah. No, it's it looks like it's getting a continuation too in the next Avengers, because like there's that scene with Cap and Iron Man, or Iron Man has some line that's like, isn't the whole reason that we're fighting and doing this so that we can stop fighting? And Cap, he has this line in here. It's he thought, what is it? The punishment comes after the crime. So it's, and it was in Avengers even, like there was that to a point.
And I wonder
when
if
they
that,
find out
that
they're making
would
the
be
weapons.
What they do for Civil War.
That's the entire undercurrent of Civil War,
that's
pretty much,
what I got.
Which I think is awesome that they're building it up to that point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're definitely setting up Civil War. I think that could be huge, especially with the new Spider-Man tie-in possibly that's going around the internet.
Yeah. Get that Iron Spider in there.
Another white guy, Spider-Man. What a time to be alive.
Oh, boy.
I didn't cast it.
Why did they show us the five potential actors? Why didn't they just announce it and pretend? Why? All sickly-looking white boys.
This movie did feature Falcon, Marvel's first African-American superhero.
Yes.
Sure. Plus, at this point, I've also just kind of given up on Spider-Man being interesting ever again. Because I feel like they're just going to reboot him every 6 years. So, I can't care anymore. I can't fucking...
Miles Morales.
I would be on board, but I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon, so I just don't get excited about Spider-Man. I can't fucking see him get bitten by a spider one more goddamn time. I'm sick of it. We know where Spider-Man came from.
Want to tell you about a fan fiction?
Oh. Does he
Captain
fuck
America.
The spider? Does he
Captain
fuck the
America
spider?
Captain America and the Falcon adopt Miles Morales. Okay, I'm done. I'm done. It's really great. It's really great. Though.
They don't fucking do they?
No. They adopt him. Like, they raise him. It's
okay.
A family.
Okay, when you say fan fiction, there's usually fucking involved
there
in fan
is
fiction.
Between Falcon and Captain America.
Okay.
But it's also a heartfelt family story.
Okay, well that's fine. You can understand where my concern is coming from, though, right? I'm not off base in asking. Look, I think the big takeaway here... Did anyone else besides me think that the Winter Soldier looks like the lead singer of My Chemical Romance? Right? Right? Right?
Yep.
Yeah. Especially that last part where his eyes go all wide and he's beating on Cap and just like... It's like,
yeah,
oh,
it's
cool.
Literally jarred.
Yeah. That was it. That's all I have there. I just, you know, two of my favorite things overlapping.
The costume was interesting because he covered like his eyes and face. I don't know. And he's like a no one knows who he is, so it's kind of weird that someone's gonna seem like I remember that guy. Like Captain America is the only one that would remember him.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
the disguise was kind of. I mean, whatever. It was interesting.
Just for that reveal.
Yeah.
Then he gets the glasses knocked off, then he just kind of looks like Sub-Zero for a little while.
Yeah. I love that, though, that Natasha's the wonder. Because she...
She got that whole... Buzzy star thing.
Buzzy star
thing. Oh, her little EMP thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a pretty dope little toy.
Yeah.
I am always disappointed with the reveal that it's Natasha in, like, a suit, though, because like that woman couldn't be a badass by herself.
Uh-huh.
She was a SHIELD councilwoman,
yeah.
You know? It's all right. I understand why they did do it, of course, why they chose to do it that way, but I was kind of wanting to just be that old lady.
Me too.
When that was happening, I had like the thought, who is that? Like, why have they not mentioned her? And then, like as soon as her face starts to change a little, I was like, oh yeah, I should have known that.
Yeah.
I should have figured that one out.
They were kind of like bureaucrats, too, though, like the annoying bureaucrats that like chime in.
Yeah.
They love to put those people in movies, all kinds of action movies.
Yeah.
Even from Dirty Harry, like the cops that are like the above the cops that, like, we went too far this time. And they always got to have those, like, annoying, like, authority figures that the hero always has to be like, I'm going to do things the right way, my way, and then it works out. So,
yeah.
But, yeah, so. Mm-hmm. When that character started throwing high kicks and stuff, it was pretty. I was like, "Dear Lord, it's not just a bureaucrat." Oh wait, it's the Black Widow.
Yeah, just camping out. I recognized two of the council members. The Asian dude was the guy that played Lou in The Dark Knight, the banker that takes off with all their money, and the old white dude was Charles Wigmore from Lost.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I can think of him from. I see him in stuff all the time.
He's in Heroes too.
Okay, that's the other thing it was. But yeah, I always go to Charles Widmore, and then I just keep thinking of other Lost tie-ins that I want to pop up in these movies, and then they never do.
The old dude from Lost. Which old?
He was Penny's dad. Desmond's lady.
Oh right, yeah,
yeah.
Okay. I know now.
All right. Okay. Good. I was disappointed that Powers Booth didn't pop back up in this one because he was one of the council people from Avengers.
Oh, that's true.
It's like the main one that's just yelling at Fury. He's like, is this really part of your plan? And, it's like, why don't we get the quiet menace of Powers Booth in this one?
Powers Booth is a loud talking, unlikable character in so many movies.
Yeah, and it would have been perfect on the council in this.
In Deadwood, even. He was
good at Deadwood.
He was great in Deadwood, but. Just wanted to punch him the entire time he was on the screen.
Fucking Cy Tolliver.
He's a Tombstone, very punchable. Like, he's just a punchable guy.
Carly Bill! Actually, I just want his character from Tombstone to be in these movies now. Marvel
he's
has
been
done...
frozen in ice and
yeah.
For no reason whatsoever.
Marvel has done dumber things with their comics.
Very true. So the lead-in, I guess... this will be interesting to see how this affects the Avengers with the directive of S.H.I.E.L.D. bringing them all together now.
Yeah.
They're going to be, I guess, independent or run by Captain America or who knows. Like they
probably
could be,
Stark, I would think, because he's going to be the money.
Yeah.
I think they're setting it up from Stark has the money and Cap has the kind of command potential, I guess.
Yeah.
I think that's what they're going to perhaps lead into a split, at least at the Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Definitely. Well, down to, what, 4 days? 4 days out? 5 days?
Goodness. I have my tickets.
Yeah. I'm going to go see it in North Carolina.
I have friends that went to the premiere in California. They were tickets. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah.
Any leaks? Any?
They said it was, you know, good, but they're sort of very, very pro MCU anyway, so.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
All right.
We'll see.
Yeah.
I mean, the only thing, I mean, like, not only am I generally superhero fatigued, these Marvel movies all necessarily have the exact same plot. It's a little bit frustrating. It's like, oh my god, the world is gonna end, but we're gonna save the day at the right last moment.
I mean, that's comic books.
I know. Yeah. But it's like, why do I need 3 a year? I don't need 3 a year.
I mean, it's either that, or you get those really weird Alan Moore swamp things where it's just him sitting in a swamp and having existential crises all day and talking to trees.
Stroking your face with his long fingernails.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, the Sam Cooping machine is broke. If only there was someone who could fix it. And the movie made $7, so.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I get why they're the way they are. Money.
Yeah.
Yeah, there are a lot of threats to the world. The Marvel universe is very dangerous to live in.
Yeah.
If you live in New York City and
especially
you're in a Marvel comic,
especially because the superheroes aren't helping each other.
Yeah.
Save the world.
It's like, New York's been destroyed 37 times since 2004. Like, we should probably move to upstate, maybe, perhaps.
Yeah,
maybe.
Somewhere in the middle of the desert, maybe. place without a civilian population,
yeah.
Possibly.
Just move to the middle of the country. Nothing ever happens there. It's only on the coasts.
Oh, there you go. Suck it, Omaha. We're coming for you. Get the Dust Bowl Avengers team formed up. Bring in Squirrel Girl from the Great Lakes Avengers.
Cornhusker.
So that's the biggest threat. Boredom. Overwhelming boredom.
Cool bands never come here. They always go three cities away. 311's from here and we hate it.
We had to sign up for a week and then took it back down.
Cool. Is there anything else we want to hit on before we wrap up?
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Let's do favorite moments. Alex, we'll start with you.
I think my favorite moment is, I don't know if this was intended as a joke, but it made me laugh pretty hard. When the Winter Soldier rips off Falcon's wings,
uh-huh.
And he goes down, he radios up to Cap. He's like, "Hey, Cap, my suit's down." And I was like, I thought that was really funny. He's just like, "Yeah, it's down. Whatever." Not. That guy ripped my fucking pants off. I can't do anything.
It stopped working.
Just that didn't work. We got a problem. I got a reboot. Whatever. I'm gonna try that. See if that helps.
He didn't even say my wings were clipped. Nothing clever.
Nothing clever. Just down.
Grounded. He's probably very happy that he's not gonna get his ass kicked.
Yeah.
Oh, darn.
Coming for you, thank God. My
oh man, I don't have to fight the guy with the jackhammer punch. Oh jeez. Oh boy. The guy who,
you, Steve-o.
The guy who dances around with bullets.
Well, he did run into another building where there were a bunch of bullets.
Yeah, but there were normal dudes in there.
Yeah,
he could take
true.
Those dudes. He was highly trained, man. Did you see the muscles?
Power rescue.
Yeah.
Power rescue. He's gotta fight a lot of dudes.
I never said pilot.
Yeah. Oh, Sam Wilson.
He's an angel from the sky. He's too good for this world.
Ivy's favorite moment?
Okay, so as much as I liked action sequences and things, like the elevator thing was sweet, because it's like, you've never seen like an action sequence
yeah.
like that. Like, car chase is boring, we've seen a million. But
yeah.
I really like the part where Cap like pulls the thing off of Bucky and he's letting him punch him. He's like, "I'm not gonna fight you." That
yeah.
would probably be my moment, just because it's like heartstrings and
oh, yeah.
that's what's gonna get me more than things blowing up any day. So
those emotional arcs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Alright, Jackie.
I'm gonna probably go the opposite. Anytime Natasha's in a fight sequence,
yeah.
it's automatically like more appealing to me because she does more like ridiculous flips that are unnecessary, but she does them anyway, and it's just, I really like watching her, especially like we mentioned the little discs that
yeah,
she
yeah.
uses, and I think in Age of Ultron they're making her suit more electric, so
yeah.
it was sort of like a quiet progression to that as her weapon
to actually give her a means to stand on her own legs against robots and everything else they throw at her. Cool. Chris?
My favorite was the opening scene where he's running full speed and just kicking ass. I love that. That was a good way to start for me. A lot of action, a lot of urgency, a lot of, like I said, as I mentioned earlier, just showed actual, like, the superhero part versus just a dude. Like, jumping without the parachute was crazy, too. So
yeah.
It was pretty adrenaline-pumping scene.
Cool. KK?
I mean, the first scene is my favorite.
Yeah.
When they meet and they're jogging and Steve Rogers is trying to open up because he's sad and has PTSD and he doesn't know what to do. So he's just a little shit, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you can't tell me he's not done this before with people, just messed with them, trying to make a connection.
He just hangs out and runs on the mall all the time, hoping to pick up cuties. Like, oh man, if I laugh at them, oh, they just got really pissed at me.
Yeah.
Oh, you'll get them tomorrow morning, Steve.
Okay.
You'll get them tomorrow.
Right,
maybe,
like, you're
maybe
bad at flirting. You're
maybe
bad.
Go down a shirt size tomorrow. see if that sells it.
True small. Exchange this medium for a small.
Yeah, those are all solid. I definitely agree with Chris. I really like that opening scene. And this movie, I kind of almost wish we'd gotten this movie before Avengers, because I don't feel like we got the setup for just how out of time Cap was in Avengers.
Mm-hmm.
But this movie is so good at, like, in the first, like, 15 minutes of it. Like, in the fact that, like, he has a
Joss
list
Whedon
and everything.
Is bad at Captain America.
Russo brothers are dope.
Yes, they're very good.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. For me, the elevator fight is so fucking awesome. Like, that's such a great... And, like, he's so casual about it at the beginning, too. He's like, all right, if anyone wants to get off before we get started. And it's like, what a badass fucking guy. Get the shit out of them. And then when he does that dive and, like, lands on shields, like, God, that's really cool. But it's like, super soldier or not, you're going to be feeling that on
yeah.
a motorcycle ride out.
Even the guy, like, even the Hydra guy was just like, God damn it. What do I have to do?
Like, are you kidding me? Next time, send 20 guys, pussy.
Pack that in an elevator.
Bam. Cool. I think we're going to wrap it up there. So thank you, KK, Chris, Jackie, Ivy, and Alex for coming on and doing the podcast. That's going to wrap it up for the MCU for now. Thank you all for listening, and we'll catch you next time.
Thanks for listening to How Have You Not Seen This. If you enjoyed the podcast, like the page on Facebook. Subscribe to us on iTunes. You can also leave us a rating or a review. If you're interested in donating to the podcast, you can do so through the PayPal link at the Podomatic website, howhaveyounotseenthis.podomatic.com. You can also send any questions, comments for the show to howhaveyounotseenthispodcast@gmail.com. Thank you for listening, and we'll catch you next time.